Our opening text, Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the time for praise and worship, Lord. The time to break bread and drink the juice as remembrance of you, Lord, and what you did for us. Now, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would encounter us through the power of your Holy Spirit right now, Lord Jesus, that you would illuminate our hearts to the word that you have for us, Lord, and that it would produce fruit in our life, Lord, that it would have deep roots, Lord Jesus, that when the trials of this life, when the sun is at its hottest, Lord, that it would not scorch, but we would have deep roots planted by the rivers of water, which is you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak through me today, Lord, that I might be a vessel of honor fit for the Master's use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Faith. Does your heart say this? I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Just that thought of being so acquainted to want to know him that you're okay in suffering with him. You know, there's a great story. You know, right now there is intense persecution in Nigeria right now. They are slaughtering Christians because of their belief. And they're asking them to renounce Christ. And they will not. They will not. And people are giving up their lives for Jesus, because of their Jesus, because they know that this life is temporal. It's temporal. And there's so much more ahead of them than what they had just at that moment. We all don't know when that moment is where Christ says it's time. And Peter's life, we've seen this like transition of a man, this metamorphosis of a man who was so proud and so arrogant at times, yet now is so meek, knowing that his time is drawing to a near. He's about to give his life just as the Lord showed him. And his concern is for you and I, that you would be focused on eternity, and focused on Christ, and not get distracted with the things of the world. And that brings us to our text, our 2 Peter chapter 3. And as he's finishing his letter, he says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle," in verse 1. "Of both which I want to stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' For this they willfully forget that by the word the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men." There's the first reference of the coming judgment by fire. "But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are in that extended period of grace right now. Since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the last days began in the book of Acts. See, our time, we think of days, and it's just like, well, you know, 2,000 years the Lord's tarried. But a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. And he has waited and waited, and he's patient, and he's trying to not bring judgment, just as he did with Noah. He gave 120 years, and Noah would preach, a preacher of righteousness, calling repentance over and over again. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We spent a lot of time on that, the day of the Lord last week, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in there will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. You see that picture of judgment there. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And as we had discussed last week, the day of the Lord is coming. It is closer than many of us can think or comprehend. We saw and read through the signs of the times last week. But the false teachers and followers, both then and today, do not want to accept that the Lord is going to return and judge the world. And the reason is, they suppress the truth. They suppress the truth, and they don't want to accept the truth. In fact, they exchange it for a lie because they want to fulfill their own lusts, their own desires. And I want to bring us back. Do you remember when we spent the time on Noah and judgment and Sodom and Gomorrah, and we referenced Revelation chapter 1? And I want to recall this, which is Revelation 1, 19 through 24. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, they suppress it to fill their own desires and lusts, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. All have been, by creation alone, all have know that there is a God. The atheist delusion, the video you guys watched that one week where we were off, we saw that people chose to buy the lie. They were lying to themselves. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That goes all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve made that choice to be as God. The truth was twisted by Satan, and they chose to buy into the lie, and since then, it's perpetuated. And God eventually looks at a person and says, you know, at some point, I'm going to turn you over to the reprobate mind. And there's a great story in the Old Testament, and it's in Daniel chapter 5. And we're going to read through that. It's the story of Belshazzar's feast. He was the king. And so if you read, to turn over to Daniel chapter 5, let's read that together. Because what I just read to you in Romans 1, you got to understand what happens. So let's read it together. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. And while he tasted the wine,
Belshazzar gave the command to bring gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple. He took the holy things of God, and he said, bring them out. These things had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine, and they praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron and wood and stone. They took the holy things of God, corrupted them, and started praising other things, idols of gold, silver, stone, bronze, iron. They twisted it. And in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote the opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw a part of that hand and that wrote. He actually saw the hand writing something. Then the king's countenance changed. So he saw this truth and his countenance changed. He sees something and he knows this is not normal. And his countenance changed. And all of a sudden his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Fear. Fear. And the king cried aloud, bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. And so all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing. You can't use the world to understand what's in your lap. Then King Belshazzar, because now all the king's men came, and they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. And then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. And then the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. And the queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. For there is a man in your kingdom who is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. So there was still a man, there was still one who had the spirit of God in him that wasn't corrupted. And Daniel was brought in before the king. And the king spoke and said, Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, and that the Spirit of God is in you, and that the light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of this thing. And I have heard you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler of your kingdom, or in the kingdom. And Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself. I don't want what you have to offer. I think about Jesus and think about the temptation in the desert. Remember, Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I don't want that. Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. I will proclaim the truth. O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, All peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took the glory from him. You see, pride puffs itself up. Pride goeth before the fall. Pride, man's pride, will not accept the truth of which the days that in which we live. Man's pride says that God's not coming back. They mock at the idea. Then he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. That's the sovereignty of God right there. But you, his son, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart. Although you knew all this, you knew the truth. Think about 2 Peter 2. Think about the false teachers who knew the way of truth and forego the way of truth and went the way of Balaam. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord. There it is, original sin in the garden. You've lifted yourself up thinking that I can determine what is right and what is wrong. For they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives and concubines have drunk wine from them. You've corrupted them. And you've praised the gods of silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and wood and stone, which do not see, hear, or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified him. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. I'm not even going to try to say that, but this is the interpretation of each word. For God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. It's like Daniel says the truth to him, and it's just, okay, well, give him the things that he needs. And it says right here, as the scripture closes, it says, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. You see, the day of the Lord for Belshazzar came. And it came that very night, that appointed time. See, truth was all around just as it is today. However, as people in the end times, per Timothy, will be lovers of self. Okay? They'll be lovers of self. So when you love yourself more than God, you will suddenly pursue your own truth and your own desires. Then when the truth is shared and spoken, it cannot be recognized. Right? Why? Because the conscience has been seared with the hot iron. It can't penetrate anymore. So just as one day a false Messiah will appear, called the Antichrist, and he will sweep away the world with a lie. The enemy of your soul just wants to push the world and all of its pleasures in front of you and I. He wants to put it there right at your forefront. Just as Satan tried to tempt Christ in the desert, just as he tempted Adam and Eve. 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. We read that in 2 Peter, how it's going to. And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's a promise. That's a promise. He who does the will of God, you and I, we can abide forever. See, remember, John and Peter were with Christ during his ministry. They were there. The 3 years. They were both there when Jesus shared the Matthew 24 Olivet Discourse. John got to see Revelation, and he wrote it and penned it. The end of all things. He was blessed to see that. See, Peter knew well enough through the Holy Spirit and what the Lord shared during his ministry of those times. And Peter reinforces the idea that you, beloved, and I should not be so attached to this world. Don't get so attached to this world. Remember the opening scripture in the first letter, 1 Peter? He says, you're a stranger. You're a pilgrim passing through.
Amen.
Because the world that so many love is going to burn. So don't give in to the pleasures of this world. Don't spend your time accumulating and building up idols that will be consumed in the fire. And this is not to say that all things that we do here on earth are bad, okay? But see, God gives us many things. He gives us arts and talents and music and different things for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. But you have to ask the question, is what I'm doing, is what I'm pursuing, is it done to the glory of God? Or is it done to the glory of man? Is it done for yourself? And it's that perspective that is needed. You need that perspective. Carter Conlon said, keep in mind you are rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Keep everything in the eternal perspective. Are you seeking him? Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you seeking his will first? Because Peter says, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And he was there when he heard Jesus say this parable. And it's in Luke 12, 16 through 21. He says, Jesus is referencing the man who built the many barns. There it says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought with himself, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, the day of the Lord came early for this man. That day of the Lord came early. His last breath, and he was found just wanting to accumulate more for himself. And there's so many that experience that. Do you know on average, every day, 7,452 people die in America? According to the United Nations World Population Prospects Report, approximately 7,452 people die every day in the United States. In other words, a person dies in the U.S. approximately every 12 seconds. Every 12 seconds, someone breathes their last breath and then is standing before a holy God. Do you understand that? And we all don't know our time. For some of us, we will be blessed with many years. For others, it can happen suddenly. You who are in the text saw Joe and Tammy. Their sister-in-law, 43 years old, suddenly, she was at work and had a seizure, and then she passed away. She passed away. You see, we all will stand before the Lord when he comes, either in the clouds, and then after the tribulation for those not raptured away, as well as all those who have gone before us. Things can happen suddenly, just as the days of Noah were, that suddenly they were swept away, remember? Then suddenly, that appointed day, boom, the earth opened up. The rain started coming down. It was like a thief in the night to them. But we are not children of the darkness. We are children of the light. We have seen the light. So because you've seen the light, Peter says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord, for the day of God? In Malachi, in 4:1-3, it says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch, but to you who fear my name, You who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and grow fat like still-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So because all the things of the world will be consumed in the fire, you should be holy and growing in godliness. Be holy, for I am holy. For he is holy. Be holy, for he is holy. Do you remember? You know, remember we spent that time all in that 1 Peter when he was talking about that? In essence, Peter is saying, since it's all going to melt with heat in the earth and all the works of man, your holy conduct and godliness will be what survives the fire. Why? Why is that? Because your faith goes through the refiner's fire. In 1 Peter 1, 6-9, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, that's the things of the world, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That your faith be more precious than that. Unfortunately, so much of the church today, particularly in America, is not preaching or teaching holiness. They're not teaching and growing in godliness, those virtues of faith that Peter describes in 2 Peter 1. Growing in your faith and looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and for him to return. Instead, it's about self-fulfillment. Your best life now, and it's called the apostasy. It's called the apostasy. And we are to be children of the light, sharing the love that he has poured out for us, sharing the gospel as we push back the darkness of this time, of this world. And as we look for the Lord and hastening the coming of the day of God, we can hasten that day by what? By living holy, righteous lives, proclaiming the gospel to all the world. That's what Jesus told us to do. And what? To pray. Pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. In Revelation, the saints who were slaughtered say, how long? How long? How long until we're avenged? What did Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His example is talking about hastening that day. Thy kingdom come. Please set your kingdom up. And we as believers should be looking to that day. Just as creation groans for the Lord's return, so our soul should cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. This is not your home, folks. This is not your home. This is a temporal place. These are just tents. That's what Paul says. So Titus 2:11 through 13 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, there's godliness, in the present age, in the presence, today, now. Why? Because you should be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that. And Peter says, nevertheless, in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Where did that come from? There was a promise in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Wow. Wow. As I close here, so since the former shall not be remembered, since the former shall not be remembered, keep your eyes focused. Don't be like Lot's wife, as the angels of the Lord saved them by force, right? He took them out. Now it's time to go. Remember? Do you remember that story in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot, you know, they said, come on, it's time to go. It's time to go. There was urgency. Destruction was coming. It's time to go. Yet she could not let it go.
She could not let the former things go. And what happened was she looked back. She looked back at what she had rather than looking forward. If you keep reading in Philippians chapter 3, it says, not looking at the things behind, but looking forward to the things ahead. You, beloved, keep your eyes focused on Christ. When you see these things, look up, look up. Your redemption is drawing near. And I leave you this scripture. Revelation 22:7, Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon, church. We should be about holiness. We should be about growing in godliness. Looking to Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Just keep things in perspective. You've heard this so many times. But Peter, even in the beginning of this message, says, I keep writing these things to stir up your mind, to remind you. I have to be reminded. I get caught up during the week at times. I get caught up in the things of the world. Temptation is at every door. It's there. But greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. The enemy of your soul, he lost already, folks. He lost already. You have to stand on that word and speak it. That's what Jesus did in the desert. He spoke the word. That's the sword. Do you remember the armor of God? That's the sword. That's how you combat. You got to get that word deep inside you and speak it. Speak it to the enemy when you have those things. You know those thoughts. You know what I'm talking about when it's like suddenly, like the thought passes your mind. You're like, And then the Holy Spirit convicts you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm sure Jesus thought that bread looked amazing in the desert. I'm sure it looked enticing. 40 days of not eating. Tired, weak, and hungry. Isn't that how Satan works and operates? He tries to catch you when you're off guard, when you're at your weakest points, and then he comes at you. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And we have access to that. So read it. Get it deep inside you. So that you can stand when the trials of life come, you can stand on his promises. And they're all yes and amen. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for your promises, Lord. I thank you for the instructions that Peter has given us, Lord. To want to know you more, Lord Jesus, to grow more like you as we are reminded of the times in which we live. And that all the things that this world has to offer, don't hold a candle to you, Lord, because it's all going to be consumed in the fire. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways. Strengthen us, Lord, that we be about your kingdom, that we be about your business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.